The title of this message is Keep On Asking, Keep On Seeking, Keep On Knocking. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And this is based on one of the things that Jesus taught his disciples. And we've been talking about those things that, you know, Jesus made disciples, and then he told us to go make disciples, and then he told us what to teach to make those disciples. And this is part of one of the things that he taught them, one of the things that he actually commanded, and it's this idea of asking, seeking, and knocking. And so Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11, it says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks knocks, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for a bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, one thing I want to just pause on here just for a moment, because, you know, some things I think we kind of read over, and as we read over it, like, we don't really get it, or we think that maybe that was just, I don't know, something that wasn't really meant, you know. But in this scripture, I want you to notice what Jesus said in verse 11. He says, if you then, being evil, now how many of you in this room think you're evil? Nobody wants to think they're evil. Do you know, you can go into the prisons and you can talk with people who are absolutely, totally, completely guilty, and they're still going to try to convince you that they're good. I'm a good person. And if you don't believe they're good, just go ask their mama. Their mama will say, you know, he's really a good boy, right? Well, yeah, but he robbed 15 banks and murdered 33 people, you know. But he's really a good boy. No, Jesus said nobody's good but God, right? So Jesus never missed an opportunity to confront when he needed to confront. And I find it interesting that he's talking to his disciples here, and he says, if you then, being evil, you know, what does that do to you? It makes you have to step back and say, wait a minute, why you call me evil, you know? If you then, being evil, so here's the point I wanted to make. I say this in almost every funeral service that I do based on a scripture in Isaiah, but anything, biblically speaking, anything that disagrees with God is evil. Anything I say that is in disagreement with what he has said is evil. It's not just the serial killer out there that's evil. Anything I do, any action I do or partake in that is in disagreement with God's word is evil. And understand, he's letting his own disciples know right now that, you know, you guys haven't arrived yet. There's still some evil you're indulging in. You're still thinking some wrong ways. There's still some things that need to be dealt with. And so anyway, but so he brings that point out. But even an evil person, even a person who doesn't always do it God's way, you know, that fathers typically want to do something good for their child, and they're not going to try to do something purposely to harm them. All right. And so there's nothing that reveals more about a believer than his or her prayer life. And so, you know, how that individual approaches God and what that individual is willing to ask for literally reveals how he sees or views God. The way we address God, the things we're willing to ask for, lets us know what we think about his character. And I think about, I've used this illustration before, but I think about, you know, the conqueror, Alexander the Great, who they say at by the time he reached 33 years old, I can't verify this, but they say that he sat down and cried because there were no more countries for him to conquer. So he was bored now, right? So Alexander the Great obviously considered himself to be great, but I remember hearing the story about one man who came to Alexander the Great, and I don't remember exactly what the request was, but it was a large request. In fact, he had been encouraged by those closer to Alexander the Great, don't ask him that. Are you crazy? Because you got to understand, this was a dictator, a conqueror. All he had to do was speak a word and you're dead. And so this man comes to Alexander the Great, and he asked him, what do you want? And he said this big request, and everybody was kind of scared at that moment of what was going to happen to this man. But Alexander the Great looked at the man and he said, you know what? He said, the fact that you're willing to ask me for such a big request shows me what you think about me. It shows me that you think I'm actually capable of doing this great thing for you. And because you believe that kind of greatness about me, you have the request you asked for. And so we think about, you know, there are big things I believe that God wants to do in and through our lives that many times our own brain shuts down and says, no, you can't do that, and so on and so forth. There are visions that God has tried to plant in the hearts of many of his people that they say, God, this is just too impossible. We can't do that. And they shut it down. And so the way we are willing to approach God and the things we're willing to ask of him says a whole lot about who we think he is. And so we frame our request in accordance with what we know of his character, the one that we're addressing. And it's very similar also to how a child will make a request from their father. You know, the child that has a good father, a kind father, he may be a firm father, but he's a good father who that child knows that this father of mine has my best interest at heart. That child is not going to be afraid to go and ask that father for something. Okay. Now, deep down, they have this assurance that the father has greater wisdom and greater experience than they have. And therefore, they're going to trust his answer. And they also understand that he would not give them something that's harmful to them. He's not going to give them something that ultimately is detrimental to their life because he has their best interest at heart. And so the child will go to him maybe sometimes with an extravagant request. But an uncaring father who is arrogant, maybe just because he doesn't care about the well-being of his child, and unfortunately there are some people that do act like that. The father that's stingy and ill-tempered and abusive, that child's very seldom going to go and ask that father for anything because they don't want the consequences that are coming with it, right? And so this is also true spiritually. When we pray in harmony with the view of God that we have. And there's some people that need to change their view of God. Now understand, he is holy. He is totally, completely just, but he is also totally and completely love in the purest form. And so I think sometimes our view of God can be influenced by the kind of earthly father that we've had. And an individual that believes that God is just simply arbitrary will be fearful and on guard. And here's the sad thing, that many in the church see God as an arbitrary God. They see God as, well, you know, maybe he'll do this or wants to do this thing for me or maybe he won't. You know, people that have some kind of sickness or disease and they say, well, you know, just maybe God, and that's why we want to put our resume out there. And God, you know, I did this and I did that and I go to church every Sunday and, you know, I even put money in the offering basket and, you know, God, I try to help people. And we start doing all this bargaining with God. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with the fact that he is Jehovah Rapha. It's part of his character. He wants his people healed, right? And so when we know that about his character, then we can do as the Bible says and enter into the throne of grace boldly, not arrogantly, but boldly, because we know his heart and we know his desires for us. And so all three of those verbs, ask, seek, and knock, are imperative commands. All right. Now, let me just get a little bit grammatical with you. So they're imperative commands. In other words, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. It's an imperative. There are two basic kinds of imperatives in the New Testament. There is the what they call the aorist imperative, which is a command to do a particular thing at one specific time. Okay. It's like, I don't know, pick up that piece of paper off the floor. It's a command to do one specific thing at one specific time. And then there is what you call the present imperative, which is a command not only to do something once, but to keep on doing it indefinitely. When that command is given, that means it doesn't stop. You know, years ago, you guys know we have a radio program on KAJN, been on there for many, many years, but we had a sponsor, a Christian businessman who told me, he said, look, I'm going to sponsor this program for 6 months. And so he did, and it was wonderful. And I told him, thank you for doing that, helping us to get the word out. And then he said, well, how much was I given? And I told him, he said, I tell you what, you just keep sending an invoice to my business until I say stop. He said, but you don't have to ask me to send it. Just send it every month. Just keep doing that until I say different. And so for years, This invoice was going to this particular business. And for years, his people who run the business office was sending a check to the church to help pay for the radio program. This happened for years and years. And one day, the man was going out of business. And the picture is that once the command was to do it was indefinite, well, it's indefinite, you know. And then when he was going out of business, his office manager called and said, Pastor Dwayne, we're still sending money to you every month for your radio program. I said, yes, you have been for years, actually. And she said, okay, that's awesome. Said the owner forgot he was even doing that. I said, well, that's wonderful to me, you know. And so, of course, he went out of business, so they couldn't do it anymore. But the Lord has provided where that's not even necessary. But the point is this, when there's an imperative command given in the present tense like that, it is a ongoing thing. And you don't stop until God says stop. And so we're told literally what this really should be translated as is ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. And so there was I remember hearing this taught at one point in time that, you know, people were told, well, listen, once you pray about something, that's it. Don't pray about it anymore, because if you pray about it anymore, that's a lack of faith, because you should have just believed it the first time. Well, that's not what Jesus is saying here. Now, well, we'll just talk about the asking part. But there are some things in which the need is so clear that God's will has been absolutely made known in His Word about that all we need to do is ask for Him. That, you know, for instance, we said healing for the Christian. It's in the atonement. Yes. Salvation for one who wants to be saved. It's in the atonement. I don't have to wonder if it's God's will for me to be saved, because the Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance, right? I don't have to wonder about whether or not as a child of God, He wants me to be healed. Yes, that's right. It's very clear in the will of God. Healing is the children's bread. It's for the children of God. It has already been done. Jesus didn't have to go through what He went through for our healing. He did it because that's His will. He wants us to be healed. And so I don't even think about it. I never have to say, Lord, do you want this person to be healed? Or Lord, do you want me to be healed of this thing? I never have to ask Him that. What I have to do is immerse myself in His Word and get to know what He has said. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Once I know that, I stand on that Word and I'm going to see it happen. And that's why we've seen many miracles and healings and things take place. There's some interesting things about this. It's an asking with the understanding that it's already been made available. So it's more really like saying, I'm ready now for what you've already paid for on my behalf. I'm ready for that to manifest in my life. I already know what your will, God. Now, Lord, you show me what I need to do to manifest this in my life. Okay? And here's another aspect of this word, ask. The word ask is ahiteo in the Greek, and it means a request, a petition, but it also means a demand. Now, I want to be clear about something here. We never demand God to do anything. God is the one in charge. Not us. But there's something interesting about that word. Now, I've heard people wrongly begin to command God because of a misinterpretation of a scripture they read. They begin to command God to do this and that. No. We don't command God to do anything. Okay. He's God. We're not. So we're not going to ever do that in any kind of a disrespectful way to Him. But just like money in the natural puts a demand for the product to be received. You go to the store, you put your money out there. This is the product you want. There is a demand for that product now because you've put the money there, right? Just like money demands that product to be received, faith puts a demand because faith is the currency of heaven. Faith puts a demand on the storeroom of heaven to receive what God has already paid for. So there is a demand, and so what the reason this is important is that we have to understand that we have the right now to receive it. He's given us the right to receive it, and we don't have to beg for it. Our faith puts a demand on it. We don't ever have to go to God and say, God, would you please release this to me? No, it's already been released to you. We got to learn how to receive it by faith. And faith, Brother Jason talked about it Wednesday night. Faith is simply believing that God cannot lie. He does not lie. That what God has said is true, and he's going to abide by his word. That's what faith is. And so, again, it also puts a demand for any enemy blockades to be removed from the flow of those things that God has already said belong to us. All right? So praying, again, it's not just asking for stuff. And I want to clarify also that praying is not just a one-sided thing. Now, I've taught on this before, but prayer is a two-way conversation. And if we think that somehow God is pleased, if all we're ever doing is asking him for stuff, we're missing the whole point of prayer. Prayer goes much deeper than that. And we'll talk a little more about that when we talk about seeking and knocking. But prayer is a two-way thing. And I have become convinced that most of my prayer should be listening to what he's saying instead of telling him what I want to tell him. It's a two-way conversation. And so when I go to him, it's based on, Lord, you have said this. And so I'm agreeing with your word for this. And Lord, I thank you for releasing this to me. And now I'm going to receive this thing in Jesus' name that you've already made provision for. I don't want anything that he's placed in the storehouse of heaven to be wasted. None of it. If God, if you've got things in there for me while I'm on this earth, then Lord, I want it to be manifested while I'm on this earth. I've said it before, but you don't need healing in heaven. You don't need prosperity of any kind in heaven. You don't need those things in heaven. We need them on the earth so that we can do the will of God for his kingdom on the earth right here and right now. Amen. Like what Brother Holton used to say, it's not about the sweet by and by as much as it's about the nasty now and now. So we're commanded to ask and keep on asking. It's not a lack of faith to be persistent, to stand and refuse to let the enemy trick you or try to make you believe that it's not possible. When you have a word from God, it is absolutely possible and it will be fulfilled. Sometimes there's a timing issue in it that we don't always understand, but I'm telling you, if you have a promise from God, God will be faithful. He will complete what he started. And our job is to continue to not go before God and beg God, but our job is to continue to stand and believe and to ask by request, petition, and putting a demand with our faith on those things that Jesus died to give us.